Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Mem Aleph. We begin at the very top at the brand new Mishnah. Yitz Hashem, today we're going to finish off the beautiful third parak, Elu Narus. So we begin top of Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph with the Mishnah. Omer, if a person were to say, Rechmono Litzlan, Pitisi as Bito Shoploni, I seduced the daughter of so-and-so, I'm a Mafata, I did this to this girl, so the Mishnah tells us he has to pay the damages. Mishalim Boshes Upagam, he pays those types of damages that he incurred when he had relations with her, albeit it was voluntary, as we have explained already previously in the Perek. He has to pay the boshes and the pagam, because even though he is admitting it himself, he does have to pay, as opposed to Vein Mishalim Knas. He doesn't pay the Knas. As Rashi points out, there's a famous Gemara in Bava Kama that we learn, where it's Rashi in Dibur Masav Vein Mishalim Knas, tells us that Modeh B'Knas Potter, if a person admits to a Knas, a fine, that would be a knas. It's not a financial penalty that he's paying because of damages that he did, but it is a knas that the Torah designated for doing this action. There's a penalty. So then we learn now from the Gemara in Bava Kama from the pasuk which says, "Me'asher yarshiyun Elokim," that the Beis Din judged you. Elohim here is a lashon of chol, that the Beis Din judged you for doing something wrong. So then you pay the knas, as opposed to prat lemarshia esatzmo, for a person who says he himself did something that was rishus, he did something that was wrong. In that situation, through this derivation of the psukim, we learn out that he doesn't pay a knas if he's mode al pi atzmo. So we see here clearly the differentiation between the penalty that he pays, the financial liability that he has of boshes and pagam, which are a repayment, so to say, of the boshes and the pagam that he caused to her. So that's a direct financial quid pro quo, as opposed to the knas, which is exeris hakosuv, which a mode bi knas is potter. So that's the Mishnah telling us, if a man says, Rechmon was mefate this girl, but he does have to pay the regular damages that he caused. Likewise, if a person says, Omer Ganavti, if a person says, I stole something. So normally, if a person steals something, there is a penalty of the karen itself, and then you have to pay kefil, you have to pay double. If you go and shech the animal that you stole, so you'd have, or you sold the animal that you stole, so then you have to pay dalid v'hei. Mochar or tovach, so it depends. If it's a goat or a sheep, then you pay dalid. If it's a cow, then you have to pay a total of five times. Now, the penalty of kefil and the penalty of dalid v'hei are also knas. They're not a direct liability. The direct liability is to pay the karen, to pay the principal that you stole. So if a person says, homer ganavti, so again, similar idea to the man who says, I admitted that I was mafati, he has to pay the damages that he did, but he doesn't have to pay the knas. So too, if a person says, I stole something from you, mishalim karen, mishalim sekarim, he has to pay the principal back, al piyatsmo, even though he was moda himself, but he still has to pay the principal because it's a direct financial compensation for the damage that he did. However, he doesn't pay the knas, which is eino mishalim tashlumi kefil v'tashlumi arbo v'chamisha. He doesn't have to pay these fines that are knas. That doesn't make any sense. It's exeris hakosuv. Why should he pay double? Why should he pay four or five if you were tov v'chamachar? So these are not direct compensation for the damage that he did. This is a knas, and a knas is not paid mode b'knas is potter. Similarly, if a man is hamis shorius ploni, if a man says that my ox killed either your ox or another person. So in this situation, if he says, Hey, Mishori is ploni, if my ox killed another man, he says, Hey, Mishori, Oshoro, Shoploni, or my ox killed your ox. So therefore, in this situation, the Tan of our Mishnah seems to be telling us that this is a direct compensation for the damage that you did, killing this person, having your ox kill this person, or having your ox kill his ox, and therefore, harezi mishalim al piyatzmo. This is not a knas according to the Tana of the Mishnah. This is a direct financial compensation, and therefore, you have to pay it even though you're moda b'atzmo. The person who's moda, they owe somebody else money, so he has to pay that. But a knas, moda b'knas is potter. This is not considered a knas according to the Tana of the Mishnah. However, if a person says, hamis shori avdol shoploni, then ain mishalim al piyatzmo. In a situation where your ox killed his eved, so there the Torah says there's a 30 shekel penalty that is independent of the value of the eved. It's exeris hakosuv because you technically in this situation should be chayav misa b'dei shamayim for not being more careful with your ox, and therefore the knas that's instituted here is not a direct financial compensation for the loss of the eved, but it's exeris hakosuv. It's a knas, and this is a case of hamod b'knas is potter. So if you are admitting that your ox killed the eved of Ploni, then you don't pay ein mishalim al piyatzmo because this is moda b'knas is potter, as opposed to if your ox killed a free person or your ox killed another ox, then it's a direct financial compensation and you would have to pay al pi atzmo. And the Mishnah concludes and says, klal, this is the rule of thumb here. Kol hamishalem, if a person has to pay damages that are yoser amashihisik, that are more than the actual damage that he caused. You, for example, sold somebody's cow, so you have to pay five times its value if you went and shechted it. That doesn't make any financial liability sense. That's a knas min haTorah. So anytime that you have to pay more, call mishalom yoser amashihisik, you pay more than the damages that you cause, so that's called a knas, and therefore ainu mishalom apiatzmo, you wouldn't go and pay that by your own admission, because again, the form above a kama learned out from Asher Yarshiyun Elohim. So in that situation, prat lamarshia satzmo, you don't pay when you admit it yourself a knas. Tomorrow we'll discuss why does it say only over here call mishalom yaser. The same thing would apply if you paid less. Let's say the manservant was worth 60 shkolim, but you still only have to pay 30 shkolim in this situation. So the same law applies. The Gemara will explain why it says call mishalom yaser amashi hizik. Okay. The Gemara starts off and says, the listne or nasty. Why did the Mishnah give us the case of haomer pitisi? I seduced this woman. Why didn't give us the case where a person admitted that he assaulted, he raped a woman? Why is that then seemingly not mentioned in our Mishnah? Someone says because it wasn't necessary. Lo mi boy kamar. The Mishnah has a certain style called lo mi boy kamar. It didn't have to tell me. Now, what does it mean? Lo mi boy anasti. It didn't have to tell me the case of anasti. That was obvious because in that situation, the lo ko pogim law. In that situation, of course, he would have to pay for the boshes and the pagam, but wouldn't have to pay the knas because he didn't do anything to be pogim the woman. He's not saying that she was complicit in the aveira. She was assaulted. He's admitting that he assaulted her. So therefore, it doesn't make her in any way pogum, that she was a bad person, that she had committed the aveira with him. She was never assaulted. She had no say in the matter. She's held totally, absolutely innocent and not taking into account anything that she did. She's not in any way doing an aveira. So the law called pogum law, he's not making her into a bad woman. So therefore, of course, the mishalim boshes, so pagam opiasmo. So of course he has to pay the penalty of the boshes and the pagam. But again, Mo the Riknas would be potter. It didn't have to tell us that. The Chiddush was Avo Pitisi, where he admits that he seduced the woman, where he basically is saying that, yeah, I did something wrong, but so did she. To call Paul Gimla, he's basically saying that she committed an aveira with me, so therefore I might have thought, Ema, lo mishalim al piatzmo, he shouldn't have to pay the boshes and the pagan, because by paying that, he's basically implicating her as being a woman of less than stellar character. So therefore, I might have thought that he doesn't, of course he doesn't pay the knas because the motive of knas is pata, but he doesn't even play boshes to pagam because he's basically damaging her reputation. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is, komashula, no. If he says that he did this, so he has to pay the boshes to pagam because he's admitting that he owes a financial liability to her and therefore he has to pay it. He's not exempted from that payment because he's also implicating her at the same time. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah by saying PTC, and of course, lo mi boy kamar anasti, the din would be the same. Now, our Mishnah clearly holds that in this situation, he does have to pay the boshes of pagam for pitisi, as opposed to the following Tana, Masnis and the Lohi Aitana. Our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of the following Tana, Rabbi Shimon. The Tana, because we learned in the Raisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, that the Tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, says over the name of Rabbi Shimon, Af boshes of pagam, even the penalties of boshes of pagam, ainu mishalim al piatzmo. He doesn't pay this, because as we just suggested, maybe he shouldn't have to pay them because he's pogame the woman. So Rabbi Shimon holds, in fact, that that's 100% true. Ah, boshes of begam, enu mashalim apiatzmo, because lo kol heimenu shivko bito shaploni, because by him paying the boshes and the begam, he's basically saying that she was also doing an act of rishus. She was also doing something that was wrong. And therefore, we don't believe him to go and be pogame a woman in Klal Yisrael. Lo kol heimenu, it's not totally up to him. As Rashi says, she owes you a lies, mizana ba'ir. He's basically saying that she was mizana. She committed an act of immorality with me. So even though he's saying that he didn't assault her, he did it voluntarily, nevertheless, we don't believe him to go and be pogame somebody else's daughter. Only Republic Abai, Republic says to Abai, nichala ledida, my. What happens if the girl says, hey, listen, I'm more than happy to go and take the money that you're willing to give me for boshes and pagam? So according to Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, would, in that situation, where she says, yeah, no problem, I had relations with him, just pay up the boshes and the pagam money. So in that situation, would Rabbi Shimon still hold that we don't make him pay? So the Gemara says, no, because in that situation, Rabbi Shimon would still say that you don't go and pay because Dilma lo nicha le liovia. Okay, the girl doesn't mind that she had now has a reputation that she is somewhat immoral, but her father will mind. Her father will object. Her father is not happy that his daughter is being known now as a girl that had relations before marriage. So the Gemara says, no, the father says also, money is money. Nicha le liovia, my. The father says, no problem. Go take the $100 for Boshes and Pagam, and that's great. So if the father doesn't seem to mind either, so the girl doesn't mind, the father doesn't mind, so would Rabbi Shimon say in that situation, since there's no pogame to the girl, she's more than willing to accept this in order to get the money, so would Rabbi Shimon say in that situation that we allow him to pay the money but when he's moda on his own that he was mafat to her? So Gemara says, no, because Dilma, maybe, lo nicha luhu, the bei mishpacha, no, her siblings aren't happy having their reputation. The other members of the family aren't happy with their sister being known as a woman of ill repute, of a woman who would have relations before marriage. Rudi Gemara says, Nicha luhu l'bnei mishpacha mai. What happens if the bnei mishpacha, all of her siblings say, yeah, no problem, $100, $100. We don't care that her reputation is a little bit sully. Let her get the $100. So in that situation, would Rabbi Shimon say that we are going to have the man pay the boshes and the begam when he admits it himself because it's nicha to everybody? So he says it's impossible that it's really nicha to everybody. The Efshur, it is absolutely impossible. The Lek Achad, that there isn't at least one member, Mimdina Sayam, one member of the family who lives far away, the lo nichole, that person's not going to be happy to hear that he has a cousin that was Mizana. So it's impossible to go and ask every single member of the family, Nichle, Nichle, Nichle. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon would say, since there's certainly the strong possibility that at least one member of the family would object to the fact that they have a relative that was Mizana, so therefore, Rabbi Shimon would hold across the board, Lo kol hemenu shivkom bito shoploni. We can't believe him to pay the boshes and the wagam because it sullies her reputation, and somebody in the family is going to be upset for certain that her reputation is sullied. Okay. The next part of the Mishnah is quoted, Homer Gonafti Mishalim Sekher B'chul. If a man admits that he stole somebody else's animal, let's say, so in that situation he has to pay the Karen, he has to pay back the principal, but he doesn't pay the Knas, which is either the Kefil or the 4 or 5. If he was Tavach HaMachar, a goat or sheep, you pay 4, and the shore you pay 5. Now, the Gemara says, Itmar, we learn the base Medrash. Palgoniska. How do we deal with, what is the status of a short tam? A short tam is an ox that has never gored before. It is not considered a short muad. It's not considered a goring ox that requires a special shmira, but it is a regular ox, and the ox gored. So the Torah tells us that you pay chatzi nezek. This is called palgo niska, the chatzi nezek. So how do we view this palgo niska? Is this a damage that you're paying for, albeit you're only paying half of the damage, because the Torah says you pay only half the damage, and this is a compensation, and therefore is going to be paid even if you mow that, be atzmo, or do we view this palga niska as a knas? The half damage doesn't make any sense. Either you pay full damage, you pay no damage. So the Torah tells you to pay palga niska, chatzi nezek, so we view it as a knas. So this is the fact of machlokas amarayim. Rapapa mar palga niska mamona, and Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, amar palgo nisko knosa. So this machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, revolves around how do we view the chatzi nezek that a owner of a short tam who damaged goes and pays. So let's explain this further. Rav Papa amar palgo nisko mamona. Rav Papa says that it is viewed as a compensation for the damages that you did. So how come you only pay half the damages? Because Rav Papa says kosavar, we understand it logically, stam shvarim, the typical cow that is not a shomua, that hasn't shown itself to be a goring cow, la becheskas shimur kaime. Even that type of a cow is not considered watched. All cows have the potential to go and damage. So every cow, even if it hasn't gored before, is technically the owner should be liable to go pay full damages, the regular damage that this cow caused, the owner should be liable. You have to watch your cow. So every cow is, by definition, supposed to go and pay full damages for any damages that it caused. It's not a knas, it's a compensation for the damages that your cow caused. Ubedinhu, the mishalim kulim, and the din should be that you should have to go pay absolutely full damages. Because your property caused damage, so you have to pay. This is an absolute compensation. It's nothing to do with knas. So that's the din. V'dinu d'mishal mikule. However, the Torah had mercy on us. Rachmanu hu d'chayis ilave. The Torah had mercy upon the poor guy. He said, listen, the guy's ox never gored. How can he have possibly watched this ox so well without any warning that the ox tends to gore? Most oxen didn't tend to gore. Most of them were short time. And therefore, the akati lo iyad Tura, since it wasn't yet a Shor Muad. A Shor Muad, you better go and watch, because that ox has shown a tendency to gore. But this ox had not shown a tendency to gore, so the Torah took mercy on him, and therefore only asked you to pay Palga Niska. So it is a compensation, it's not a knas, but the Torah just had mercy on you and said you only have to pay half of the damage that you caused. But it is a compensation for the damage that you caused, and not a knas. That's Rav Papa's understanding. On the other hand, Rav Huna Bar Yeshua says, no, Amar Palga Niska Kinasa. He says, this Torah requirement for you to pay Chatzin Ezek for a short time that did damage is an absolute pure knas. It is a Torah saying that you should go and pay a knas of half the damages. Why? What's his understanding? So Rav Huna Bar Yeshua says, Kisavar Stam Shvarim B'cheskas Shimur Kaimei. Your typical non-goring ox, your short tom, your typical ox, is not considered to be a damaging, goring type of an ox until it shows its natural tendencies to do so. But the Stam, the full position, is that it's not. And therefore, you're not held accountable. And technically, Min Hadin, Ubedin Hu D'Lol Lishlam Klal. Technically, the Torah should not obligate you to owe anything. Out of pure compensation, you're not held liable for your ox going and goring the first, second time that it goes and gores until it's neighed into a shor muad. Machlok is whether it's the third time that you pay the muad penalties or the fourth time that it gores. In any event, the dinu, the lo lishlum klal. So certainly for the first and second time that your ox gores, you should not have to pay anything else compensation. However, Rachmana, the Torah, who the Khan say? The Torah says, listen, you still should have been a little bit more careful. So we're going to make you pay a penalty of Chatzi Nezek. In order that you should go and watch your ox a little better. As Rashi says in Kihechi Denintere, to Shiyosif Shmira Ashmiraso. Don't just be happy with a little bit of Shmira, do more Shmira to prevent this from occurring. So it's a penalty that the Torah kicks in according to Rav Huna Bar Yeshua. And this is a machlokis between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Yeshua. How view Chatzi Nezek, the Palgo Nizka of a short time? Again, Rav Papa says we view it as a compensation, a monetary damage. Palgo Nizko Mamona, and Rav Huna Bar Yeshua says, no, this is a knas. This is a Torah stated penalty, a knas that you pay, which is not a compensation for the damage that you did, albeit, this is a critical point, albeit it is based upon the total damages, but it is not a compensation for those damages. So it's based upon the total damages, and you pay half of that, but it's a knas and not what we call mamona. So again, mamona means that it's a direct compensation. Knas means that it's a Torah penalty that is instituted here that is not a compensation for the damages that you did. Okay. Now, the Gemara gives us a simon. We always say out the simonim, hizik, ma, the hemis, klal. This will be the Rashi Tevos for the upcoming sugya that we're going to discuss. So we start off with a Mishnah that's being quoted from Bava Kamma. Tonight we learn in that Mishnah, Bava Kamma, Hanizak, the one who is damaged, Vahamazik, and the one who does the damage, are both called Bitashlumim, are both participating in the damages. As Rashi says, Dibra Maskal, Hanizak, Vahamazik, Bitashlumim, Shneim, Mafsidim, Badovar, that when there is damage done by party A to party B, so both of them participate in the payment of these damages. As Rashi says, so-called daitoch tohochi kamar, this is what it means, tarvaihu, both parties, the one who damaged, the mazik, as well as the one who's nizak, who was damaged, both participate over here in the payment. Motilu, bahai, pseido, the nizak, both of them participate in the loss that the nizak, the one who was damaged, suffered, the nizak mafsid palka, or mazik mafsid palka, that both of them pay half, or lose half of the damages. So that's what the Mishnah Bava Kamma tells us. Now, this makes very good sense according to Rav Papa, who says that this is a compensation for damage that was caused. So it makes sense that each of them is paying half of it in the Chatzi Nezek scenario. So Bishlom Leman Diomar Palgo Nizko Mamona, according to Rav Papa, who says that we view the Chatzi Nezek of a short time as being a compensation, Mamona, for the damage that were caused. So we understand the Mishnah in Bava Kamma saying, Hainu Dishayach Nizak B'Tashlumim. We understand why the Mazik, he's paying 50%, and we understand why the Nizak is also considered paying 50%, because according to the Torah, he should have been entitled to 100% of the damages. And the Torah said, no, Chos Rachmana, the Torah had pity on the poor guy who had a short time. What is he supposed to do? How could he watch it so carefully? He has Shar Tam, it wasn't expected to go do this, even though technically you should have to pay the whole thing. The Torah was chos. So according to Rav Papa, we understand the Mishnah and Bava Kama, why each of them is paying a half. The Mazik is paying a half, that's easy to understand, but even the Nizak is paying a half. He was entitled to 100% and he's only getting 50%, so it's as if he's paying 50% of the damages. Works out great if you say that this is Palgo Nisko Mamona like Rav Papa. But if you hold the Kahuna Brei Yeshua, El Laman Diomar Palgo Nisko Kenasa, if you say that it's a Kenas, so then we understand why the Mazik is considered paying a Kenas. He's paying half the damages as a Kenas. But in what way is the Nizak considered paying half the damages? Minat Torah, he should be entitled to nothing because a short time is considered not something that is obligated in paying damages. So Minat Torah, the Nizak got zilch. Now the Torah then goes and tells him, we're going to hold the Mazik somewhat accountable and make him pay a knas, a fine, a penalty that the Torah is making him pay half the damages as a knas, not as a compensation. So then, hashtu d'lav d'dei koshokel, he's technically not entitled to anything. So if he gets 50% as a knas, that's wonderful. That's found money. So b'tashlumim isay, how do we say that in this situation, the Nizak is also participating in the compensation? He's not. He wasn't entitled to anything. And the Torah was nice and gave him 50%. So how is that cool that the Nizak is also participating in the Tashlum? So this is a kasha of Huna Breda Yeshua. Where it says, no, it's not a kasha because he's participating in the following way. Lo Nitzrucha, the Torah is telling us that he is participating also in some way in paying for the damage that was done to him because Ela lepchas nevela, because he is entitled to keep the nevela. So Reuven's ox gored Shimon's ox, and Shimon's ox dies. Now, Shimon is entitled to no compensation min haTorah, according to Rehuna Brithi Yeshua, except that the Torah made a knas to give him half the damages. Now, who owns the carcass over here? Shimon owns the carcass of his animal. Now, that carcass is worth, let's say, $50 the moment that the animal dies, because he can still sell it to a non-Jew as meat, or it's a certain value of the hide. But every day that goes by and he doesn't sell it, so that carcass loses its value. The meat no longer is going to be edible. The hide is going to be destroyed. So therefore, in this situation, the pchas nevela, the amount of money that the nevela loses in value between the time that it was killed, day one, until the time that it's actually sold, day two, day three, day four, whenever, so that loss in value of the carcass is suffered by the nizak. And that's how the mazik, as well as the nizak, are involved in tashlumim in this case. That's how Rav Huna Brei Yeshua would have to answer this. Shmuel says, but we learned this already. Pchas nevela tanina. We learned this in a brisa in Bava Kama as well. So it says over there in this brisa, in this Tosefta, tashlumei nezek, when we say that there is a certain amount of damages that are paid, melamed shabalim mitaplim b'nevela, that the owner of the dead animal has to take care of the selling of this carcass of the dead animal, and therefore this is called tashlumi nezek, that the pchas of this nevela is going to be on his dime, so to say. So if it was worth $50 on day one and now it's worth $25 on day three, so he suffers that $25 worth of loss. And that Rashi explains the Ramaska tashlumi nezek is that the language over here of tashlumi nezek implies Shahanizak notel es neveloso umetapobo umochwa. The nizak, it's his responsibility if he wants to get the full value of the carcass to go take care of it, because every day that it depreciates on his watch. Vamazik mashdimale mashim chayvu Torah. And after you take into account how much the carcass was worth, so it's the carcass worth $50, so then you deduct that from the total half damages, and the mazik only has to pay the half damages minus the value of the carcass. So therefore, in this situation, we've already learned that the pchas nevela goes to the responsibility of the nizak. So why would I need to be taught this twice? Why would, according to Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, we need to learn it from the Mishnah nizak v'mazik b'tashlumim, as well as from the Braisa where it says tashlumei nezek melamed shabalim etaplim b'nevela? So Gemara says no. Rav Huna Brei Yeshua says you need it twice. You need the Mishnah and the Braisa. Chada b'tam v'chada b'muad utzricha. I need one to tell me the din applies by a tam, a short tam that damages the pchas nevela is the responsibility of the nizak, and by a shormuad, the pchas nevela is the responsibility of the nizak as well. Tzricha, you need both of them, because you can't learn one from the other. Because diyash minon tam, if we only learned the rule by a shortam that the pchas nevela is the responsibility of the nizak, I would have said mishum da'akate lo iyad, because it wasn't a shormuad, and therefore, since this animal had never gored previously, so in this situation, we hold the Nizak to be responsible to take care of the Nevela. Ava Mu'ad, the Yayit, but Ishar Mu'ad, where the owner was warned, so then let the owner of the Masik animal take full responsibility, including getting rid of the carcass as fast as possible. I would have said in that situation, the Pachas Nevela should be the responsibility of the Masik, not the Nizak. Therefore, you have to tell me the case over here by a Shar Mu'ad. No, the Ashmina Mu'ad. So just tell me the case by a Shar Mu'ad and an automatic Nila Shar Tam. No, I would have said, Mishum de Kor Mishalim Kula, in the case of the Shar Mu'ad, where it has to go pay the full damages. So therefore, in that situation, we make the responsibility of the carcass to be the Nizak, because he's only a little bit being held accountable. The Mazik is doing most of the hard, heavy lifting by paying the full amount. Abul Tam, but by a Tam, where the guy is only getting half damages, I would have said, let the Nizak not have any responsibility for the carcass, and let the Mazik have full responsibility for the carcass too. After all, he's only having to pay half, so take care of the carcass. Abul Tam, Malo, maybe I would have said in that situation, the Nizak doesn't have the responsibility for Bechas Nevela. Let the Mazik have that responsibility. Tzricha. Therefore, you need a Mishnah and a Braisa to teach me, one by the din of the Mu'ad, that it's still the responsibility of the Nizak to take care of the Bechas Nevela, and once by the Tam to tell us that it's still the responsibility of the Nizak to take care of the Bechas Nevela. Okay. Mara now continues and says, Toshma, we have the following Mishnah that is also from Bava Kama to teach us that the damages that are incurred by Yeshar Tam are in fact considered a mamona, like Rav Papa says, and not a knas, like Rav Huna Brevi Yeshua says, that it's a compensation for the damages and not a knas that the Torah instituted. So this is a raya to Rav Papa and a kasha on Rav Huna. This Mishnah in Bava Kama tells us as follows. Toshma. Ma bein tam lemuad. What is the difference between an ox that is a shor tam, it has never gored previously, and a shor muad, an ox that has gored three times? So, shatam, so the Mishnah tells us one difference. Shatam mishalim chatzi negev migufo, that in the case of the tam, so when Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox, and it caused $1,000 worth of damage, so then you pay the $500 only from the value of Reuven's ox. So if Reuven's ox is worth more than $500, so then you'll sell Reuven's ox, and you'll take the $500 that is the chatzi nezek, and you pay it, and the remainder goes back to Reuven. But let's say Reuven's ox is only worth $250. In that situation, he just pays $250, he doesn't pay $500. Shatam mishalim chatzi nezek migufo, only from the value of the ox itself. He doesn't take anything out of his pocket. He just says, listen, my ox over here, Bessie Goad, went and gored your animal, and it caused $1,000 worth of damage. I only have to pay chatzi nezek. We'll take Bessie. If Bessie's worth more than $500, so then you'll get your full $500, and the mazik gets to keep the remainder. So if Bessie was worth $750, he'll pay $500 from Bessie, and he'll take $250 back for himself. But if Bessie's only worth $250, he says, here's Bessie. Here's the $250. That's all you're getting. You'll get $500. This is called mishalim chatzi nezek migufo, from the value of the ox itself, but not from his pocket. He doesn't have any other responsibility. Umuad, as opposed to a shor muad, if Reuven's ox Bessie gored Shimon's ox and killed it, caused $1,000 worth of damage by a muad, b'shalim nezek shalim in aliyah. So then, Reuven has to go pay the full $1,000, and if Bessie's only worth $500, then tough luck. He has to take another $500 out of his pocket. He can pay with Bessie if he wants, but if Bessie's not worth the full amount of the damages of Reuven's ox causing on Shimon's ox, so then he has to take the rest out of his pocket, what's known as min ho'aliyah. In other words, min ha'meta, Rashi says, shebe nechos mazik. So then he has to pay from the best of his property to go and compensate Reuven, to go and compensate Shimon for the damage that Reuven's ox caused to Shimon's ox. Now, this is the only difference that the Mishnah seems to say exists between a shor tam and a shor muad that damaged. It doesn't say v'lo k'tani, like Rav Huna Brei the Rav Shua should have said, Shatam inu mishalim apiatzmo, umud mishalim apiatzmo. If Rav Huna Brei the Rav Shua is right that this is a knas, the Mishnah in Bava Kama should have listed another difference between a tam and a muad, that the tam were to only pay if there is evidence that his ox gored Shimon's ox, but not by made bifneatzmo, if he is testifying on his own, mishalim apiatzmo. So we don't apply that by tam, we only apply that to a muad. So if Rav Huna Brei the Rav Shua is right that this is a knas, chatzi nezek is a knas, it should have listed another difference between tam and muad in the Mishnah. From the fact that it didn't list it, it must be that Rav Papa is right, that this is considered damages. And it tells us that the damage is full nezek versus half nezek. So if it's regular damages, compensation, so then Rav Papa says that's why the Mishnah didn't tell us anything else, because it told us this din, that you pay full damages from the Aliyah, if it's a Shor Muad, and you pay half damages from the guf of the Mazik's animal for Tam. So Rav Papa says, didn't have to tell me anything else. But Rav Huna, Brei de Yeshua, how come it didn't tell us that the difference is Mishalim Apiatzmo or not? So the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Huna, Brei de Yeshua, Tana Vishir, this Mishnah in Bava Kama didn't give a comprehensive list. There are other differences that it didn't list, and once you have other differences that it didn't list, so then, in addition to Mishalim HaPiatzmo was a difference, there's another difference. Once you have two differences that are not listed, then you can't say the Mishnah is a comprehensive list. The Mishnah listed some, it didn't list others. No, my shir, thy shir. No, what else besides Mishalim HaPiatzmo did the Mishnah not list? So, the Gemara answers, shir, it didn't list also Chatzi Kofer. The din is that if a shor goes and kills a person, so then there is a penalty in this situation of 30 shekalim. So in this situation, this listing of chatzi kofer for a tam, that the tam only pays 15 of the 30, is not listed. And that's the shear, in addition to mishalim apiatzmo, is shear chatzi kofer. So therefore, that's why Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua says that the Mishnah of Bava Kama is not a kasha on his shita, because it didn't give a comprehensive list. And there's another difference, such as Mishalim HaPiatzmo, because it's a knas, eino moda on a knas, so therefore you don't pay on your own admission. Gemara says, if that's true, imishum chatzi kofer, lav shiru, then you can't tell me that that's the second thing that's left out. And we turn to Mamam of all the days, because Ha and Mani, this could be the author of this mission, could be Rav Yossi Aglilihi, Damer Tam Mishalim Chatzi Kofer, that a Tam does pay Chatzi Kofer. So then, this would not be another thing that was Tana Vishir, and then we only have the Shir of Mishalim Apiatzmo, and that would not be enough not to list it. We never just leave out one thing. If you leave out more than one thing, two or more things, so then we can say Tana Vishir. But to leave out one thing, a Tam is not going to leave out just one thing. If you're leaving out just one thing, you'll list it in the Mishnah as well. Where it continues and says, we'll bring a right from our very Mishnah that a person doesn't pay knas based upon his own being moda in it. Toshma, our Mishnah says, Hamis Shori es Ploni. If a man says, my ox gored and killed a certain man, oh, Shoro, Sho Ploni, or killed an ox of a certain person, Hare ze Mishalim al Piatzmo. He has to go and pay based upon his own admission. Now, doesn't this include not only a Shor Muad, which everybody agrees is a din of compensation and not a din of knas, but my lab b'tam, doesn't this also include the din of a tam? So the chatzi nezit that you're paying by your own admission in our Mishnah, clearly the Tana of a Mishnah says that this is a compensation and not a knas. So therefore, let us prove that Rav Papa is right and that Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua is wrong. So he says, lo, b'muad. Our Mishnah is talking about a din of muad, which everybody agrees is a din of compensation and not a din of knas. Shmuel says, if that's true, so then why do we go on to the next case to try to make a fine distinction? We should have kept it within the same case. We always have a rule. We don't want to bring in new cases from left field if we can make our point from the same case. So, Avo Bitam, therefore, if our Mishnah were to be saying that it's only talking about a Muad, the implication would be by a Tam that you wouldn't pay based upon Moda B'Yatzma, like Rav Huna Brei Yeshua says, so then it should have said so. Avo Bitam, my, Enam Shalom Al-Piyatzma, because it's a Knas and you don't pay Knas Al-Piyatzma. So then, instead of saying in the next section of the Mishnah, the Tani Sefer, Avdo Shoploni, Enam Shalom Al-Piyatzma, that when your Shor kills an Eved, there, everybody agrees, is a Knas of 30 Shkolim. So in that situation, why do we bring that case in? Niflo Gvinis Nebedido. We could have made the same point that by a Moda B'Knas that you don't pay from the case of Tam versus Muad. And we could have said, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, when do we say that you pay based upon Moda B'Yatzmo? That's B'Muad. That's only in a case where it's a compensation, a Mamona. But in a case of Knas, Abo Tam, which is a case of Knas, according to Rav Yeshua, and Mishalim HaPiatzmo, you don't pay. So why did it give us the next case, which deals with a Shor killing an Eved? It should have just said that the difference between whether you moda and pay or moda not pay could be elucidated by just talking about the case of Tam versus Muad. So Gemara says, no, because the Mishnah kula b'muad komayri, because the entire series of cases in the Mishnah is all talking about a Muad and didn't want to introduce Tam, which would be introducing a new thing from left field, and therefore it kept talking about Muad. If your ox killed another ox or a free person, so then you pay the damages based upon the principle of your Moda, the damages that you have to go and pay a compensation for those damages. But if it had been talking about an Eved, which is a din of Knas, because whether the Eved's worth $100,000, the Eved's worth zero, you're still paying the 30 shekalim. So in that situation, he is dealing with a mu'ad, so therefore he wanted to keep it consistent by dealing with mu'ad each time, and that's why it's not introducing a new case from left field, whereas introducing Tam would have been introducing a new case from left field, and that's why the Tana of Mishnah chose to do it the way that he did. So we don't bring a raya against Rav Huna Rav Yeshua from our Mishnah. Try again, Toshma. Our Mishnah also said, Zakal, the end of our Mishnah said, the rule is as follows. Call him Shalem Yosir al Mashahizik. If somebody pays more than what the actual damages were, so this is a case of Knas. Therefore, everybody agrees, Moda B'Knas is Potter. So therefore, if you pay more than what the actual damages were, then you don't pay Knas. The implication of that, however, is, Hapachos Mashahizik, if you actually were to pay less than the actual damages, so then you do pay Mishalim al Piatzmo. Now, that seems to go against what Rav Huna Brei Yeshua says, that by Chatzi Nezek, that you don't pay because it's a Knas. But here, if you're paying less than the full damages, i.e. Chatzi Nezek, you would go and pay. So this is a raya from our Mishnah to Rav Papa and a stira to Rav Huna Brei Yeshua. Someone says, no. Lo te'ema, don't read this as an implication. If you pay more, then you don't pay al atzmo, but if you pay less, you do pay al piatzmo. No, don't read it that way. Lo temo ha pochos mimashihizik, you pay. Elo, read it, elo emo ha kimashihizik mishalim al piatzmo. The only time that you pay, based upon your own admission, is if it's the exact amount that you damage. So then you pay. But if you pay more, or if you pay less, then our Mishnah would say that you don't pay, and that's moda miknas, and everybody would agree with that. Therefore, our Mishnah could be consistent, not only with the Rav, but also with Huna Brei Yeshua. But then, therefore, the Gemara says, Avol pachos mai, so based upon this understanding, if you're paying more or if you're paying less, then you wouldn't pay al piatzmo. Eino mishalem al piatzmo, so that's how Rav Huna Brei Yeshua has to learn our Mishnah, so then he should have stated that. Listen, Zaklal, instead of saying Zaklal, whoever pays more than they have to pay, it doesn't have to pay al piatzmo. It should have said Zaklal, kol sheino mishalem kimashahizik, eino mishalem al piatzmo. He should have stated it exactly like Rav Huna Brei Yeshua says it means, that whenever you pay any amount other than the exact amount of the damage that you did, so then it's called a knas, and you don't pay that al piatzmo, whether it's more, whether it's less. So that's what he should have stated. The mashma pachos u mashma yoser. If it had stated it, mishalim kamashi hizik, so then it would have been understood, more or less. Why did Vedavka say only if you pay more? So that's a kasha tiyufta. That is slugging up of Rav Huna Brei Yeshua. He can't be in accord with the Mishnah. He's an Amora. If he's not in accord with the Mishnah, that's a big problem for him. So the Gemara seems to conclude over here, this is a tiyufta on Rav Huna Brei Yeshua. And in fact, Chatzi Nezek is not considered a knas. It's considered, in fact, a compensation or for the damages that he did. So Gemara says, how we paskin v'hilchasa? But even though we just slugged him up Rav Huna Brei Yeshua and saying that it was a tiyufta, nevertheless, we paskin like him and say that Chatzi Nezek, Palkaniska, is in fact a knas. More is amazed by this. Tiyufta, you slug him up and then you say the Hilchasa is like him? Doesn't seem to make any sense. Well, says, yes, it does. It makes perfectly good sense. Because Taima, my itosav, what was the tiyufta over here? It was based upon the language. Mishum de lo ketani kimashizik, because it said, yes, amashizik, but it didn't say kimashizik. That was the whole way we slugged him up. So the Gemara could answer, lo psikale. Our Mishnah didn't want to give an absolute statement that unless you did kimashizik, then you're not going to have to pay. Because there's an exception to that rule. What's the exception to that rule? Kivan de iko chatzi nezek tsroros. Because there is a damage called Nezek Tsroros, that if an ox is walking along and it kicks pebbles, and those pebbles go and fly off and break your utensils, so then you only pay Chatzi Nezek. The Torah tells us you pay Chatzi Nezek by Tsroros. As Rashi points out, Dibur Masu, Kivin the Iko Chatzi Nezek, the Mishtalim Biniske Behemo Bimahaleches, Vihitizo Tsroros, Mitachas Regla, if your animal's walking and it, as I said, kicks out some stones from underneath its foot and they go and they damage and break your kalim. So in that situation, the Gemara in Bava Kama, on Daf Kufi Yitzayin, tells us the Mishalemis Chatzi Nezek. Ubahau Chatzi Nezek, Kaimlon, the Bava Kama, the Hilchaso Gemiri Law, that we have Aloch Lamosh Misinai, Shehu Toldo shel regel. This is a toldo of regel. Uptura b'rishus harabim. And there's a special dispensation if this is done in the rishus harabim that you don't have to pay full damages. You pay chatzi nezek. Ki regel v'nizke regel lav kenosinu. But this is not a knas. So this is a Torah-driven compensation law. Elam amona sharimu edes mitchilosa. The Gabi Tsrosu, the Iko Rachmona, that normally one would have said you should have paid the full damages. But by Tsrosu, the Torah was Mekel, but it's a compensation that you're paying in the Torah was just make, you only pay half of it. The king of the Mamona, who Rashi says, Mishal na piatzma, therefore you pay by yourself. That's why one could answer this tiyufta by saying that the reason why the Mishnah didn't say Mishalim Kimashi Hizik, then Eino Mishalim Piatzel, because there is an exception to this rule by Chatzi Nezik Tzoros. And therefore, if a person were to admit by Chatzi Nezik Tzoros that his animal did this damage and broke the guy's vase, broke his kalim, he would have to pay it because that's a compensation and not a knas. So since we couldn't say across the board, whenever She'eino Mishalim Kimashi Hizik, it's not always true that Chatzi Nezik Tzoros is an exception to the rule. Therefore, lo psikali, the Mishnah didn't want to state it in that way because of this din. The Hilchos of Gemira Lo Mimonu, because as we just pointed out from Rashi, this Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that this is a din of Mamon, Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, and not a din of Knas, and therefore the Mishnah couldn't state it in this fashion, Mishum Hochi Lo Ketani, and therefore it's not shlocking up Refun Rebbe Yeshua, and therefore it's not a steer to say Tiyufta of Hilchos, because it's not really a Tiyufta. It's just Hilchos, like Refun Rebbe Yeshua, the Chatzi Nezek is considered a Knas. Now the Gemara says, the Amris, the Apalganisko Knas. Now that we paskin like this and we say that Chatzi Nezek is a Knas, so then, Hai Kalbo, the Ochel Imri, if you have a dog that ate a sheep, which is very unusual, the Shunra, or a cat, the Ochel Tarnagole, Ravravi, eats a big Tarnagol. It only eats normally small Tarnagols, it eats a big Tarnagol. This is a damage that is called Mishunahu. It's very unusual, and therefore, Lo Magbinon Bebovel. And since in this situation, you would only collect Chatzi Nezek, this is not something that the animal is moored for, therefore it's like a tam, and you'd only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So if your dog eats a sheep, which is very unusual, that's like the equivalent of tam, you'd only pay Chatzi Nezek. Or if your cat would eat a big chicken, which is also unusual, so it's like a tam, and therefore it's Chatzi Nezek, it's Mishunu, below my bina mabubble, therefore you're not allowed to collect it in bubble because it's knas. And the rule is that you can't connect knas unless you have smuchim, if you have rabbanim that are smuchim, and a bubble the rabbanim when a smuchim. However, Abo Zutre, if a cat would eat a small chicken, that's orchiu, that's the normal way the cats go work, and therefore that could be collected umagbinon in bubble because that's a regular case of damages. Now the Gemara says, the tofas, but if the person that was the owner of the sheep or the large chicken and he grabbed some property that belonged to the owner of the dog that ate the sheep or the cat that ate the big chicken, so then the tofas, if in bubble, he did go and grab it, lov makinamine, we don't have the right to take it away from him because he technically is entitled to it, and therefore we don't have the right halakhically to take it away from him. Because, as Rashi points out, lov makinamine, the gavi, pagun zika, because technically he's owed that half nezek, albeit in bubble, they technically couldn't paskin it that way. But if the person who was damaged says, v'imamar, if he says, I'm not going to grab stuff from you, but akbu li zimno l'eretz Yisrael, I'm going to take you to Eretz Yisrael, where they can judge these types of cases to bubble, makbinole. So we can force the guy to go to bubble, who was the mazik over here, v'iloaz, and if he doesn't go, then we can put him into chayrim until he goes, or he pays the money, obviously. And benkach, the Gemara continues, and says, v'shamtinole, we can go and put the guy in chayrim, whether or not the person who was damaged said he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. Either way, we put the damager, the mazik, in Shamta. We put him in a chayrim of some sort because we told him that really, salik hezekach, you should have gone and removed this damager from your possession. So unless you're going to pay the Chatzi Nezek, we're going to put you in Shamta. And we learn this out from Rabbi Nosson. What did Rabbi Nosson say? The Rabbi Nosson, the Tanya, the Rabbi said in the following brayso, Rabbi Nosson Omer, minayin shlo yigadol odem kelev rabasok beso. A person's not allowed to go and raise pit bulls in his house because they're a very dangerous animal. Kelev Ra is a dangerous dog. So you're not allowed to raise that in your house. So you're not allowed to keep a rickety ladder in your house as well. This is just a disaster waiting to happen. And this is based upon the pasuk Shnemar, you're not allowed to go put blood in your house. What does that mean? You're not allowed to put blood in your house. You're not allowed to go have in your house something that could cause damage to other people. And therefore, Basin has the right to put this guy in Chayrim because he has these animals in his house that are potentially going to cause other people damage. And therefore, he's put into Chayrim for not either watching his animals more carefully or if they do damage, he has to go and pay for that damage. Hadrilecha Elu Naros, Hadrilecha Elu Naros, Hadrilecha Elu Naros. This concludes the beautiful third parak and today's shir.